In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Paul wrote to the Galatians because he had been slandered by people in Galatia who said that he only had the knowledge of the gospel secondhand. He had not heard Jesus, the Christ, teach, traveled with him, heard his teachings firsthand. He only had a second-hand knowledge of those teachings. And when Paul wrote to them, he pointed out how little contact he had had with the apostles, and he didn't immediately run to them once the scales had fallen from his eyes and he had embraced Christ. His knowledge of Christ was not second-hand, not from the apostles that had gone before him, but his knowledge of Christ was a first-hand knowledge of Christ. And we today, when we think of that, we think of his vision of Christ on the road to Damascus. And certainly that is where it began. But the fact is that the Christian faith can only be had first-hand by experience. Not by the kind of emotional experience, or self-oriented experience, or self-affirming experience that we think of as the source of our religious faith. But in fact, almost the opposite. The experience of being brought short by God, and learning firsthand that God is God, and we are only his created creatures. Learning firsthand humility. Learning firsthand what is to be learned by turning inward and seeing the emptiness within ourselves unless we are at one with God through Christ. And once that begins, then there is struggle. Then there is spiritual effort without which there is no further knowledge of Christ. There is no knowledge of God. And we are left emptier than we were to begin with. If we discover the truth and we fail to engage it, but hold back in fear, lest we lose something that belongs to me, that I will not sacrifice in order to have a knowledge of God, an experience of him, a oneness with him, and a oneness with all other human beings through denying myself, that's the cost. That's the price. Paul paid that price. He left a life where he was a man of great power and influence amongst the Jews, amongst his own people. And he became someone who preached Christ crucified and the necessity for each one of us to crucify our vanity and our self-love, ourselves, in order to know him firsthand. And immediately he was questioned by those who did not want to share the death of the self, dying to oneself, realizing that we cannot stand alone without God. No matter how we may turn to the use of others, one way or another, in order to build ourselves up, there is still that emptiness at the center of ourselves that we know about, that only can be filled by our effort to participate in the divine life of God himself through Christ. We come to knowledge of God through spiritual effort that takes each one of us to task in those ways that need to be done by each one of us within ourselves. We dare not judge others or call them to account according to our understanding of things. A self-oriented and self-loving understanding of things. When I leave Divine Liturgy today, I will have the great opportunity to go to a clergy retreat up in Edenton, North Carolina, and we will hear a series of talks by Father Edward Roman. And I know, because I've seen the schedule of his 5 talks, that what he will speak about is very closely related to what we're hearing this morning from St. Paul. And that is this, that we cannot share the gospel by sharing information. That's what the people who criticized St. Paul were looking for. Information, not the person Christ himself, whom we can only know by engaging Christ within ourselves and allowing him to begin the process of inner purification and dying to ourselves, that gives us the experience of God and transforms us so that we become humble, standing in the presence of God and able to speak to others on the basis of our knowledge of what the experience of life coming closer and closer to God is like. It's not about information. It's about sharing the person of Christ. Every human being is created so that we can share the person of Christ with others. But we can't do it by telling them all about the history of the Orthodox Church, or all about the icons, or all about the divine liturgy, or all about all of the doctrines and teachings of the church. We can only do it by welcoming them and inviting them into a spiritual effort that is already going on in us. And if it is not going on in us, that will be apparent immediately to anyone who meets us. If we don't have that, if we are not able to share the person of Christ through ourselves, then we have to fall back on whatever we happen to be. Our devotion to thoughts and ideas and things that we've learned, things that almost make sense to us. Basically, we have nothing to offer but ourselves. But not Christ. Not Christ through us, but simply information and our own emptiness. Or we could encourage others to come and to become members of our basically human community. Abandon wherever you've been before, come and be one of us. Comply with our doctrines and teachings, and you will have certainty, the certainty of being right. And those outside of this circle, you will have the certainty that we have, and the advantage of being able to look out and see that outside of the Orthodox faith, there are only partial teachings, bits and pieces that have come down through the ages. And once again, we will have preached ourselves. We will not have brought anyone or invited anyone in to the way that it is possible to experience Christ. First, by preparation, by denying our life in the world as primary, by being baptized or reaffirming that baptism that discards the first place in our life of the world and ourselves, reaffirming that by way of repentance in preparation to receive Christ. That's the first presentation of Christ to anyone. To receive Christ at the chalice, the Eucharist, in thanksgiving that God has come into the world and made himself available to us so that we can have communion and oneness with him, physically and spiritually, at the same time, at the chalice. But it doesn't stop there. That is just our nourishment so that we can engage actually and truly in the spiritual life. And if we don't do that, then we won't have anything to share with those who come and see, yes, here, there is something different. What is different about it? 3 cupolas on the roof, lots of icons and people certain that they have the truth. Is that the difference? That's not the difference. Those things are all aids so that we can actively engage in the spiritual life. We need to be actively engaging in the spiritual life, denying ourselves without fear of the loss of ourselves, but instead with the fear of God. The fear that we might live our entire lives and never have oneness with God, never have oneness with another person through Christ, but always be separate. Or are we more fearful that we might lose our separateness, which we may love more than others, more than God? Every one of us has to make that kind of choice. This is the place where we are challenged to love ourselves or to deny ourselves and begin to move toward God. Not in a straight line, none of us. There is always the necessity for a reaffirmation of the love of all those things that are beyond myself. Ultimately, God. By our love of God and our desire for Him, He will purify us throughout our lives and give us a deepening to our experience of Him and others. And if that's not going on, then we are really not Christians. Many teachings about Christianity have been developed in order to remove the necessity that we are speaking of here. The choice of making ourselves first, and everyone, including God, other than ourselves, second, or making God and others first, and dying to ourselves. That is the essence of the Christian faith. It is either the loneliness and pride of ourselves in separation from God and others, or it is the abandonment of the love of ourselves and walking the path into a greater and greater humility, so that we can humbly share the fact that it is possible for anyone to enter into this spiritual life, and that it is here available for us. See, we are already engaged in the love of God, preparing so that we can hear the words and respond. In faith and love and the fear of God, draw near. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.